Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael, and I'll be reading sports articles related to high school football from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American from the past few days. I'll read articles regarding Lehigh, as well as OHS, Permian, and Midland High. We'll read about Greenwood, then we'll read the area report and the private school report. Since the articles about the Odessa teams were published earlier in the week, we'll start with the Odessa American. Our first article from Saturday, September 3rd. High School Football Week 2. Broncos still a work in progress. OHS building on early victories. By Lee Scheide. The Odessa High football team put up some gaudy offensive numbers, this time against El Paso Americas. There are, however, still things to fix on defense and special teams. And just as it was the previous week when a single player from Lubbock Monterey gave the Broncos fits, it was the Trailblazers' Seesaw Drennan doing the damage. Drennan scored twice in the fourth quarter, once on a 38-yard run, and another on a 92-yard kickoff return, for the final points in the Broncos' 49-27 victory Thursday again at Ratliff Stadium. I think that the players relaxed and thought it was over, Odessa High head coach Dusty Ortiz said of the late kickoff return. We did some good things, but that was definitely a lesson in playing 48 minutes and something we will concentrate on in practice this week. There still were plenty of smiles after the victory as the Broncos continued their assault on the program's record book, setting or tying four more marks. Quarterback Jalen Jones completed 21 of 28 passes for 469 yards and a single game record 5 touchdowns. Jones, a senior, connected with 7 different receivers on the night, with backup quarterback Javen Gonzalez hitting an 8th during the waning moments of the game. Jones's favorite target on the night was wide receiver Ivan Kerrion. Kerrion caught 9 passes for 260 yards and 3 scores, adding his name to 3 more spots in the record book. 90 career receptions. Previous best was 83 by Gabriel Rodriguez, 2007 to 2009. Single game receiving yardage. Previous best was 215 by Daniel Rivas, 2006. Single game receiving touchdowns. Tied with Tyler McQueen, 2008 and 2009, and Larry Gatlin, 1965. He's such a weapon for us, Jones said of his 6'6" junior teammate. If I get in trouble, I can throw it up in his direction, and he is going to go up and get it. Sophomore wide receiver Brendan Thompson had another strong effort with 4 catches for 126 yards and a touchdown. A touchdown that had highlight reel play on both ends as Jones extended the play to the right after getting flushed from the pocket and found Thompson alone up the middle of the field. Thompson, after making the catch, spun away from a pair of defenders, then skipped out of the tackle of another downfield en route to a 75-yard score with 7:38 remaining to play in the game. We have a lot of weapons on offense, offensive coordinator Creighton Reed said. If they take away Ivan, our other receivers have been stepping up and our running backs did a nice job too. The Broncos got another solid effort from their running game with Jones, Kerrion, Marcus Marichalar, Carlos Sanchez, and Jorge Valdez combining for 133 yards on 30 carries. Kerrion scored his 4th touchdown of the game on a 1-yard misdirection play over the right side with 8:02 remaining to play in the third quarter, which proved to be the winning score. It was good to come out and score on that drive, Kerrion said. We didn't want to let them back in the game like we did last week against Lubbock Monterey. I haven't scored a touchdown running the ball in a while, so that felt good. But now we have to get ready for next week. Now from Sunday, September 4th. High School Football Week 2. Adjust accordingly. Permian uses halftime adjustments to pull away from Waco Midway. By Lee Scheide. Football coaches break down every situation to find moments they can use to teach their teams. Sometimes the lessons are on the little things needed to be successful on any given play, worked on every day in practice. In other instances, the lessons are more direct as coaches look for an immediate change with the sideline or halftime adjustment to ensure a chance at victory under the lights. The Permian coaching staff was handed the latter scenario Friday in the Panthers contest against visiting Waco Midway. After racing out to a 3-score lead in the first quarter, Permian's offense slowed down in the second. Waco Midway, at the same time, clawed back into the game via a long touchdown pass and a 95-yard fumble return for a score, and it was time to teach. "I was proud of everybody in the first quarter. We came out like we did not last week," Permian head coach Jeff Ellison said. "And then, unfortunately, in the second quarter, and we addressed it at halftime, I thought we lost our fire. We got relaxed in the second quarter, and we can't do that. We're learning, and it was good for them to learn and understand that." Though Waco Midway would score to open the third quarter and tie the game, the adjustments made by the Panther staff in the locker room, along with the players' ability to understand and process the changes, quickly paid dividends. Permian scored twice in the third quarter and one more time in the fourth to pull away for a 41-20 victory in its home opener at Ratliff Stadium. Permian improved on 2-0 on a night where the start of the contest was delayed for more than an hour by lightning. "You know, we started out strong and kind of fell off, but went in at halftime and regrouped," Permian quarterback Rodney Hall said. "We came out with a different game plan. I think we were too high and we have to stay calm. When they tied it, I was like, come on, there's no way we are going to lose our home opener." The Panthers' defense also had a large contribution to the victory, and forcing 5 turnovers and knocking Waco Midway quarterback Reed Tedford out of the game in the fourth quarter. "Our goal is to have 3 turnovers, and that's what we talked about before the game, that we have to get 3 to help out our offense," Permian defensive coordinator Vance Washington said. "We gave up the momentum changing play at the end of the first half and then came out in the third quarter and took the ball down, and it was a game right now. Our kids had to bow up, and I thought they did." Hall completed 18 of 28 passes for 288 yards and 5 touchdowns. Wide receiver Deontay Bass caught 5 passes for 78 yards and 2 touchdowns, with wide receiver Jaquan Richardson finishing with 5 receptions for 76 yards and 1 touchdown. Tabari Jones added a 26-yard scoring catch, and Jaden Pruitt caught a 12-yard touchdown. Running back Jonathan Viscano capped the Panthers' scoring with a 5-yard run with 4:20 remaining to play in the game. Justice Lara was the leading rusher for Permian with 47 yards on 15 carries. "All of them are going to make plays," Hall said. "I can trust them." After a delay of more than an hour because of lightning, the Panthers wasted no time once they got onto the field. Hall directed his team on a 10-play, 72-yard drive that finished with a 12-yard toss to Pruitt in the left side of the end zone with just 4:23 into the game. Permian would then put the ball in the end zone 2 more times before the quarter ended, both on Hall to Bass connections, from 23 to 20 yards, respectively. Waco Midway, however, slowed the Permian offense in the second quarter and took advantage of a pair of mistakes to make the game close. The first came when a Permian defender tried to leap and knock down a pass from Tedford, only to watch it sail over his outstretched hand and into the arms of wide receiver Junior Thornton for a 72-yard touchdown with 9:30 to play in the first half. Then, after the Panthers moved the ball to the Waco Midway 2, the snap was mishandled, and Waco Midway's Landon Wissington picked up the loose ball on the 5 and raced 95 yards for a touchdown with 17 seconds remaining in the first half. Tedford then drove the visitors 76 yards in 9 plays to open the third quarter, and suddenly the game was tied 20-20 with 8 minutes remaining in the quarter. And now we'll move to the Midland Reporter Telegram. We'll first read about Legacy and then Midland High and then move to the private school and Greenwood and area schools. LHS reports, Rebels look to rebound against Rival Abilene by Christopher Hattern. Published September 8th. Legacy's proud football program finds itself in a rare situation, being the only District 2 6A team to lose in the second week. LHS took on a challenge last week as it traveled to Canyon to face former district rival Amarillo Tascosa, the number 5 ranked team in Class 5A Division 1. Tascosa snapped a 3-game losing streak in the series against Legacy by rushing for 414 yards and 6 touchdowns during a 48-27 victory last Friday. Despite digging itself into a hole with a 28-7 deficit, LHS, 1-1, still managed to claw its way back and have a chance to win. Legacy closed the gap to 28-20 before halftime, and it trailed 35-27 heading into the fourth quarter, following a 56-yard TD pass from Marcos Davila to Breck Stevens. But the slow start was too much to overcome as Tascosa iced the game when Ashawn Watson scored on a 94-yard interception return in the fourth quarter. "We had a chance to get back in the game," LHS head coach Clint Hartman said. "We were on the 2-yard line. We had a pre-snap penalty. And then we get back and we throw a pick six and the receiver runs the wrong route. To be successful on any offensive or defensive play, you have to get 11 guys executing the right way. And that's why we play the non-district games, because thank God this isn't district and you don't get it back. We still have every goal still in front of us." Hartman said Legacy had some defenders on the line and linebacking core that didn't stick to their assignment against Tascosa's triple option offense. "They beat us," Hartman said of Tascosa. "No excuses about that. But really, it wasn't so much what they did. It was so much that we didn't follow the plan that we gave them. And that stuff is hard because it's hard to emulate Tascosa's offense in practice. I think our kids learned a little bit, and that will help them." LHS will continue to challenge itself over the next 3 weeks as it's set to face former district rival Abilene High, 1-1, and Class 6A State Powers Cibolo Steel, 2-0, and Converse Judson, 1-1, to close out the non-district slate. The Rebels host the Eagles at 7 p.m. Friday in their homecoming game at Astound Broadband Stadium. Abilene High will bring a stingy defense to the Tall City that has allowed only 27 points through 2 games. Hartman has high admiration for Eagles head coach Mike Fullen, who was Abilene's defensive coordinator when the program won the 2009 Class 5A Division II state championship. "We've played them every year we've been here," Hartman said. "One thing about them, they're going to be extremely sound and aggressive and physical on defense." Hartman says Abilene will bring 8 defenders at times and push the issue. "It will be a fun challenge like it always is with those guys," Hartman said. "For us, we have to worry about each play and our execution. You've just got to worry about the process and that play, and the next play will take care of itself. That one play is more important than the other. I think it's time for our kids to grow up and do that. That's the big deal for us." And now for Midland High. Cunningham Living Out Dream as Bulldogs QB by Christopher Hattern. Jake Cunningham couldn't wait for his day to be a Midland High football player. As a younger kid, Cunningham heard stories from his father Hank and uncle Cody Seth about their football playing days with the Bulldogs. Cody Seth was an offensive tackle on the greatest MHS team of all, the 2002 squad that reached the state championship game. Those stories inspired Cunningham to work hard so he could have his own football memories to cherish. "To hear about that and how cool that was," Cunningham said of the stories, "I've always wanted a big-time run in the playoffs. Go experience that with a team of my own or a team I'm a part of. It's not just me. Everybody has worked hard. It's all of us. We all have that same goal. It's really a team effort at just trying to be good football players and to go beat everybody and to have a good time." The 6'2", 205-pound Cunningham is now a team captain, a senior, and the starting quarterback for the Bulldogs, who are 2-0 for the first time since the 2016 season. In the season opener, Cunningham led an MHS offense that tied the program record for most total yards, 632 in a single game during a 56-28 win over El Paso Montwood. Cunningham and the Bulldogs will aim for their first 3-0 start in 8 years when they host Amarillo High, 0-2, at 7 p.m. Thursday at Astound Broadband Stadium. Cunningham is entrusted to operate the MHS triple option offense, as he is counted on to make smart and quick decisions and be athletic when he decides to keep the ball. Cunningham, a fourth-generation Bulldog, did not know how much the Veer offense when head coach Thad Fortune was hired in 2021. "It's very interesting," Cunningham said. "It's for sure different. I didn't know anything about it except for seeing and hearing about Permian running that offense. Lo and behold, it comes knocking on our doorstep. It's fun. It's a different type of offense, but it for sure makes the game a lot faster. It's better for us, for sure." Cunningham stepped into the starting quarterback role this season after serving as backup under Landry Walls last season. Cunningham says he arrived at Memorial Stadium at 6:45 a.m. to learn the offense, and through repetition, the reads have become second nature to him. Fortune has noticed that Cunningham doesn't take any day for granted as a Bulldog football player. "I think first off, he's a great leader," Fortune said. "He's been voted team captain. He was voted speaking captain, which means he got the most votes on the team. That says a lot about him. Those kind of things are earned throughout the off season, throughout the spring, throughout the summer. People watch. He didn't miss a summer workout this summer. His senior year, he's leaving nothing to chance. That's what we want the Bulldogs to do." As an athlete, that's how you have courage. You go all in, and you have to go all in before you know the results. You go all in knowing it may not work out for you, but you don't go all in, it for sure won't work out for you. That's a good way to put it for Jake. Cunningham has embraced being voted team captain by his teammates. "It was a really, really cool honor," Cunningham said. "I stood a little bit taller after getting voted captain. That is very important to me because I want to try to be that guy. The leader that somebody can come to and get everybody going, and not in a negative way. Get everybody going in a positive way. That's made me very, very happy." Cunningham has the privilege of experiencing his senior season with his father, Hank, who serves on the staff as a receivers coach. "I kind of always knew that I would end up getting coached by him since he moved over to Midland High," Cunningham said. "It's been exciting. It's kind of funny. You can kind of joke around with him every once in a while. At the end of the day, we're both trying to grind out practice to get us on top." Fortune says Cunningham cares about his teammates, encourages them, and is humble. The coach says Cunningham is willing to be coached hard and will work on the aspects of quarterback play that he needs to improve on. Fortune feels Cunningham has done a good job of moving the ball and operating the offense, which is averaging 430.5 rushing yards a game. "My main role is to make the right reads and get the ball to people," Cunningham said. "If we keep doing that, we'll keep coming out on top and being successful. That's all I got to do." And now for the rest of these articles from the Midland paper, we'll go to the Wednesday, September 7th edition, starting off with the Area Football Notebook. "Greenwood Still Has Plenty of Work to Do After Victory," by Oscar Leroy. The 28-18 victory at Canyon West Plains on Friday may not have earned Greenwood any style points, but it gave the Rangers something to build on moving forward. "It was a win, and we'll take them any way they will come," says Greenwood coach Rusty Purser, whose team improved to 1-1 on the season. Purser added that he would have liked to have seen a more decisive score against the Young Wolves, but said West Plains had a good game plan against his team and used an up-tempo offense that put the defense in a bind. "They ran 92 plays on offense, which is a lot in a normal 48-minute game," Purser said. "That's the most plays I've gone up against in my coaching career." The Rangers scored all of their points in the first half to take a 28-12 lead at the break, and Purser said the offense was clicking. "There were a few series in a row where we scored and felt good that we were able to do that," Purser said. Purser added that the special teams was again a strong point for his team, as the Rangers made field goals of 37 and 45 yards and were able to win the field position battle with their punts and kickoffs. Purser said, because the Wolves ran so many plays, he got conservative in the second half with his play calling in order to keep the ball away from West Plains. With their tempo, we were exhausted, Purser said. We're not good right now in playing fast. We didn't throw the ball much in the second half, but we drove the ball and only punted a couple of times in the game. We were moving the ball, but just didn't finish and put up more points on the board. A lot of that is my fault, as we could have done more in the second half. Purser said because they are trying to have players only go one way and not play more personnel on both sides of the ball, it hasn't left them with much depth. This game exposed a little bit of that, he said. Number one, we probably need to utilize some more personnel. And number two, we need to continue to get into better shape. You can't replicate it in practice by doing wind sprints. You just have to play your way into shape. Greenwood could be tested again when it travels to face Andrews 2-0 at 7 p.m. Friday. The Mustangs are coming off a 59-29 victory over Monahans. Andrews is good. They will definitely be the best team we've seen so far this year, Purser said. Steers bounce back with big win. The Big Spring football team overcame some players being out to roll to a 51-26 victory over Lubbock High on Friday night. Quarterback Gavin Padron and running back Kevin Ford led the Steers offense, which totaled 529 yards against the Westerners. Padron completed 27 of 30 passes for 359 yards and three touchdowns and added two rushing TDs, while Ford rushed for 179 yards and three TDs on 19 carries. It was a good game for us, Big Spring coach Cannon McWilliams said. Our execution in all three phases of the games was good, and I think we got better from week one. We also had a few kids step because we had kids who were out with injuries. One key player who was out was wide receiver, defensive back, kicker Eli Kobos, who suffered a foot injury in the season-opening loss to Pampa. He might still be a couple of weeks away from returning. Even without the playmaking Kobos, McWilliams said the offense got off to a very hot start against Lubbock High and maintained that momentum throughout the game. He said Ford helped to establish a little bit of a running game as he was moved back to running back from inside receiver after the Steers suffered injuries to the running back position. I thought that was his best running game since he's been here. I was excited for him, McWilliams said of Ford. The Steers, 1-1, will look to continue that momentum at 7 p.m. Friday when they host Monahans, 0-2, for homecoming. Monahans is always a tough ball club, and their record doesn't really show how good a team they are or how hard and physical they play, McWilliams said. It will be a test for us and a good football game. Kahoma gets much-needed win. Kahoma needed a boost of confidence, and it got one in a 31-27 victory over a solid Sonora game on Friday. It was huge, said Kahoma coach Chris Jocelyn. That was the biggest win in the last 2.5 years. They're really good, and we needed it to get us and the year kick-started again. They are a well-coached and good football team. They're going to be playing for a while. Jocelyn said his Bulldogs, 1-1, played well on both sides of the ball at times, and when there were negative things that happened, the players didn't hang their heads and continued to play. Sonora had rallied from a 24-14 deficit early in the second half and took a 27-24 lead at the end of the third quarter. But Kahoma rallied early in the fourth quarter when Boyd Cox threw a 38-yard TD pass to Austin Perkins, who finished with 5 catches for 129 yards and 2 TDs to go with a fumble return for another score. It was a big step for us, and it showed that we're growing up. That win showed a lot of character for our kids, Jocelyn said. The Bulldogs next go on the road to face Kermit 0-2 at 7 p.m. Friday. Forsan rolls past post. Forsan may have some new faces in some positions this season, but that hasn't slowed it down this year after 2 games. The Buffaloes, 2-0, stayed unbeaten on the young season with an impressive 41-15 victory over post as 5 different players scored touchdowns and Nolan Park a pair of field goals, including a 54-yarder. We played well, Forsan coach Jason Phillips said. There are still things that we've got to work on, such as keeping our mental focus and not jumping off sides. Those things are easy fixes. Other than that, our execution has been pretty good, and I'm super proud of the kids. Phillip said they are rotating as many as 4 running backs to keep them fresh, as they also play on the defensive side of the ball. Senior Kevin Kilgora led the Buffaloes with 89 yards rushing and a TD on 12 carries. It was just a good team effort, Phillip said. Our offensive line, even though we've got a couple of newer guys in there, they're just getting better every week for us, and anybody in Forsan would love to run behind those guys. Phillip said controlling the line of scrimmage will be key when his team hosts Stanton 1-1 at 7 p.m. Friday. Bearcats continue to impress. Number 4 ranked Garden City may not be at 100%, but that hasn't stopped the Bearcats in starting off 2-0 this season. Garden City remained unbeaten with the 54-8 Mercy Rule victory over Menard, as the Bearcats outgained the Yellow Jackets 333-82. I was pretty happy with the way we played, Garden City coach Jeff Jones said. We had a sophomore running back, Preston Dalinger, step up, and we're still uncovering some depth, which is nice. Dellinger finished with 96 yards and a touchdown on 7 carries, while Logan Seidenberger threw 4 touchdown passes on 4 completions. Jones said back Jordan Jones, offensive lineman Alejandro Talamantes, defensive end Denton Rowe, and defensive back Blaine Waltz have been battling injuries, but Jordan Jones and Talamantes might return next week. The Bearcats will next travel to face Trinity 1-1 at 7:30 p.m. Friday at Coombs Field. And now we'll wrap things up with the private school report from the Midland Reporter-Telegram. And again, this was published on Wednesday, September 7th. Midland Christian looks to regroup and play up to high standards, by Oscar Leroy. Midland Christian coach Chris Cunningham said too many missed tackles and too many mistakes led to a 37-14 loss at Austin Regents on Friday. We did not play to the standards that we wanted to play to, Cunningham said. What we've gone back to work on is making sure that we're taking the field, we're continuing to be the standard that we set for ourselves. We've got to continue that process. It doesn't shake our belief as far as what we want to do and who we are working, who we're doing it with. We just maybe haven't worked on it enough and made it more of a key emphasis in our practices. The Mustangs, 1-1, fell behind 21-0 in the first half against Regents, but came back out strong for the second half and pulled within 21-14 with a pair of TD runs by Dawson Bullard. We challenged the kids at halftime, and the kids responded, Cunningham said. What those kids were able to see is that no lead is insurmountable if you do the things that you're supposed to do. The Mustangs were able to take advantage of turnovers by the Knights as a fumbled kickoff return led to the first Bullard TD, while another lost fumble led to the second TD. MCS then had an opportunity to tie the game with another Regents fumble, but the Mustangs turned the ball over right back to the Knights on the very next play. Regents would score 16 unanswered points in the fourth quarter to put the game away. When you're trying to dig yourself out of a hole, like we were in the first half, it takes a lot of energy and momentum to get there, Cunningham said. It's tough to have a hiccup and then come back from that. It was a huge comeback, and loved the way our kids came out in the second half. We just didn't finish the way I would have liked to have finished. It won't get any easier for the Mustangs this week as they travel to face Class 4A Division II power Texarkana Pleasant Grove, 1-1, which comes in ranked number 6 in the latest Dave Campbell's Texas football rankings. Pleasant Grove is also coming off a 34-7 loss to Shreveport Byrd, one of the top teams out of Louisiana. Cunningham said the Hawks are well coached, very fundamentally sound, and very talented. Victor Shaw, a 6'4", 260-pound defensive end, has committed to UTSA. They don't beat themselves and they don't turn the ball over, Cunningham said. They run into a buzzsaw in Byrd, but they got after Brock, 28-7 win, another strong program. Even against Brock was up 7-0 at halftime, and then Brock had turnovers and Pleasant Grove was able to capitalize. If you make a mistake, if you miss a tackle, you're going to pay for it dearly. Cunningham said there's a chance that senior quarterback Blake Pruitt returns for this game after sitting out last week with a shoulder injury. Trinity gets ready for Bearcats. The Trinity football team looks to slow down number 4-ranked Garden City when the Bearcats visit Coombs Field at 7:30 p.m. Friday. The Chargers, 1-1, are coming off a 56-0 loss to the Lubbock Titans last week, while Garden City, 2-0, had no trouble against Menard, 54-8. And that's sports.
Natural sleep aids. Dear Dr. Roach, I have struggled with my sleep since early adulthood. Over the years, I have taken prescriptions and over-the-counter sleeping aids. Now that I'm 65, I would like to do something more natural. I have a very regular bedtime routine. I have a cup of ginger tea, and I take 10 milligrams of melatonin and 500 milligrams of magnesium nightly. My only prescribed medication is a statin. I would like your advice, opinion as to the safety of these natural aids, as well as my statin, PC. Answer, ginger tea, melatonin, and magnesium are all very safe at recommended doses. Ginger tea has almost no risk. It can cause reflux symptoms such as heartburn in some people. Melatonin is also generally safe, although I usually recommend 1 milligram, not 10 milligrams, to people in their 60s, as it is probably just as effective and even less likely to cause the unusual side effects of headache, dizziness, or nausea. The major side effect of magnesium is diarrhea, but the likelihood of that depends on the type of magnesium salt. Magnesium oxide has much more elemental magnesium than magnesium glycinate, for example, and may cause more diarrhea. 500 milligrams of magnesium salt should be safe for people with normal kidney function. None of these has significant drug interactions with each other or with a statin.
This is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, September 8th. Man fumes when longtime girlfriend redecorates. Dear Abby, I have been with my boyfriend for 9 years. Over the last 3 months or so, we have been fighting. It started when I bought a cabinet for our bathroom. When he came home, he threw a hissy fit about it. He told me he didn't like it and kept yelling at me, quote, "'cause I didn't ask his opinion first," end quote. Then he proceeded to tell me if I want to make changes to get my own house. During another fight the other day, he told me if I need a new address, he would help me move. I love him, but the things he says really hurt me. I don't feel the same love for him that I did before. I'm so ready to be on my own. I was controlled for 24 years by my ex-husband. I don't want to be controlled anymore. My boyfriend seems to want things his way or no way at all. I definitely could use your advice on this situation. Signed, Controlled Again in Ohio. Dear Controlled, in a premarital relationship, there is the concept of mine and yours. When people marry, it changes to us and ours. When your boyfriend of 9 years pointed out that you are living in his house and you should have consulted him before trying to make changes, his point was valid. In his mind, your relationship hasn't progressed to the next stage. If you are sincere about being ready to be on your own again, then that is what you should do, because the intensity of this romance appears to be waning on both your parts. However, whatever you decide, do nothing in anger. Talk this out if it's possible. If you do, it may save your relationship. However, if that's not possible, you will be able to move on with fewer regrets. Dear Abby, I have 2 grown daughters I love very much. Although I have a great relationship with the younger one, my relationship with my older daughter has always been more work. We don't argue, but she's much less connected to me. She lives in Chicago. I'm in Texas. She never calls or texts unless she needs money or air miles. If I text her, she often doesn't respond. She also forgets my birthday and Mother's Day. I just learned she came to town, stayed with my parents for a week, and didn't tell me she was coming. How do I react? Should I tell her how hurt I am, continue as though nothing has happened, or start treating her the way she treats me? When I have tried to talk to her in the past, it seems to make things worse. I can't imagine cutting her out of my life, but I am tired of this one-way relationship. Signed, Heartbroken Mom. Dear Heartbroken, by avoiding you and not communicating directly, your daughter is sending you a strong message. You do not have to cut her out of your life because it appears she has pretty much cut you out of hers. This sorry situation won't be fixed unless the two of you can have a meaningful dialogue without her or you becoming defensive. If your parents understand what the problem is, perhaps they can explain it to you. However, if they can't give you some insight, then for your own sake, concentrate on the daughter who behaves like one.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.